Welcome to your doom.
Another visitor. Stay a while. Stay forever.
The Death Mark of Doom!
Hello, fellow Beastians. This is your one and only Gaming Beast. And yeah, it's another Beastcast. It's been quite a while, hasn't it? I'll be getting into why I haven't done it, but just quick, this is going to be a response podcast, if that makes any sense. This is like an audio response, but I make it in podcast form. And this is going to be for DOS, Death Adder Super Show, number 78. A Fallen Tree. And Death Adder, first off, I want to apologize for not really responding, and I know it's like not mandatory, you know, but I've been just, I don't know, like I haven't been feeling the best lately, and also with this whole corona shit going on and the whole quarantine, it's like, I don't know, it's. And I've been also playing a lot of games, so I haven't been, like, listening to any podcasts, really. So, yeah, but, and I know, again, not mandatory, but I did notice, and it did worry me that you removed all your stuff from the next round. Now, you know, it's up to you, man. You know, it's just us hanging around in this little mini corner in the internet, but, if, you know, I would like, you know, if we, you know, I'll just say it out loud. If it would be cool, it would be cool that you would return your stuff, and, you know, that would be cool. I mean, I think that would be cool, but it's all up to you, man. You know, I don't know why you did it or not, but, also I would like to hang out again. It's been a while, you know, and yeah. Honestly, like, we could just chat, and also with Swingle and the others, so it would be great. The next round is still a thing that is important to me, even if I've been dormant now. I will try, you know, do or do not, there is no try, but I will try to make more Beastcasts, more videos and such. I did a little video in your honor. It's pretty cringy. When I had something to drink, and but it's gonna be up there. I might unlist it, but I won't remove it. It might be just for us and the Next Round website. But this will be there. It's part of my shame, but hope you enjoy it. Now responding to the points that have been made. Now I have written down notes so I can remember it. Of course, it's all over the place in my chicken scratch. So yeah. Oh yeah, you said that you were drinking some hard cider. I was drinking cider too. Magners, I think. That was pretty good. And I drink some mead. You know, it's always pretty cool to drink mead because it's like, it goes down pretty easily. I don't know. It's pretty nice. The Vikings knew what was up. You were talking about Ozark. Now I've seen it being thrown at me by Netflix, but it wasn't really something that was interesting to me. And since you said you've given up on that, I'm not going to go more into that, you know. I still haven't finished Breaking Bad. I'm at the moment where, spoilers if you haven't seen Breaking Bad, but I'm at the moment where the kid gets shot at the train tracks. And I know, you know what it is. For me, it was like where, yeah, I'll finish this, but right now at this moment, I feel like where, couldn't have there been another solution, but I get it. It's like where he's Breaking Bad, you know, and I get it, you know, I do get it, but this is like, I'm in the final season, but it's just at this point, I don't know. I will finish it though. Like, I did like the show. There have been definitely some storylines, some characters that I haven't enjoyed as much. Like, I don't know, but that's Breaking Bad for you. I've been other watching other shows, some on Netflix, some other places. Some older shows. I've been enjoying more older shows. Like I've been watching Space Above and Beyond, which is a pretty cool military sci-fi show. It kind of reminds me if Starship Troopers was a TV show, you might enjoy it. At times, they're trying to be too serious and too like military style, in my opinion. Like at times, but overall, it's still cool. You know, if you can find it somewhere, Space Above and Beyond. Yeah, pretty much Starship Troopers, but not, you know, more serious, you know, more down to earth, you know, not like the movie. More, it feels more like what the novel intended, you know, because the movie is very removed from the novel in many ways, you know. But yeah, so. Oh yeah, also with Ozark, this is what I written down. This is something that reminded me. With Ozark, you have these TV shows with these actors that have been in movies and stuff. At times, it feels to me like a retirement plan for actors, you know, like where they have been in these big movies, like the entire Adam Sandler and his crew, and now they're making these lower budget Netflix movies and TV shows, which are not always bad. There are some really good ones too, but still, you know, it just reminds me of Netflix, the retirement plan for actors, right? You did mention this dead wrestler, this Hana Kimura. I'm not really familiar that much with wrestling, as you know, and especially not anything outside of the US, especially not like Japanese wrestling, although I knew that it's big. Professional wrestling, that is, of course. But it's really sad that she killed herself over internet bullying. Now, I'm still for freedom of speech on the internet and everything, and there's gonna be assholes, of course, and psychos, but that's the nature of humanity. This has little to do with the internet, in my opinion. Again, it's sad that this happened because she's really young, and who knows what she could have still achieved, but you know, hopefully we can learn from that too. You know, also, I think one thing to do is that it's harder to control all the crazies outside. I think it's better to try to educate yourself, wherever you live, about having a thicker skin and dealing with it. Like I've been also made fun of on the internet, as you guys know. And it wasn't, it didn't feel good because I was also in a place where I was more down, you know, and yeah, that's it's the whole Salieri thing, which just happened not so long ago. Most people don't remember it. I think the only way it's still remembered where it's in the Next Round podcast intro. But yeah. Anyway, you said you were playing Halo 1 and 2. I've seen the Halo collection. I'm actually excited to get it because I didn't have an Xbox, but in college there was a friend of mine who had his Xbox and he had it outside. So I had a chance. I would play it in multiplayer with friends. And it was actually, I don't like to play FPS games on consoles, but Halo worked pretty well. Like Halo and GoldenEye are like the two exceptions because I feel like they were really fine-tuned for consoles, you know. And Halo was pretty cool because I knew about it because the first one came out in PC, so they were hyping it for a PC. For me, what was interesting was that you could have vehicles, and I thought that was cool. Anyway, playing it was it was fun because I again I got to play it in multiplayer, but I had the chance to play because the Xbox was outside, right? It was in the, you know, you had the dorm and then you had the in the college, and then there was like a little place for a TV so people could watch TV together and also play video games. Like the guy would hook up his Xbox and he would leave it there, and I could play it actually in single player. So I managed to play through Halo 1 and Halo 2 through in single player, and it was actually fun. I found with Halo 1 some of the levels repetitive, where it was just a copy and paste, and I felt like they could have taken out like 70% of those specific levels, and it still would have been fine. The game single player gameplay would have been a bit shorter, but I think it would have been fine. Either way, it was still a solid game, and yeah, I would like to get it myself eventually, because they have it on Steam. And yeah, the pistol, right? Especially for Halo 1. I remember that because I remember a friend of mine, and it was very overpowered, but you had to be very precise. It was basically having like a sniper without a zoom, but still very, very. And I remember by the end, people, when they played Halo 1, they would always use the pistol. Like, I had a friend of mine, like, he was a pretty big stoner. And that's in Utah, for all places. Yeah, that was another. That's another story I might get into. Oh man. And he was like, I remember he would get high with his friends, and they would play it, and they would only play with the pistol. And it was boring to me, because it's like, where, okay, it's just a point and click adventure with a gamepad, you know. And that's where I feel like I would rather play games on the PC or whatever, you know. So yeah. Anyway, so you talked about that you watched the first Spider-Man movie. Yeah, man, Tobey Maguire. Yeah, I find the first two to be the best in that trilogy. And honestly, I do like the new Spider-Man to a certain extent. I do like it. I like it a lot. But with the original Sam Raimi Spider-Man movies, I found like they really managed to capture the classic Spider-Man, and you had JJ, not Abrams, Jesus Christ, J. Jonah Jameson in there perfectly. And yes, they had the same guy play him now, but they made him into a shitty, like, Bill O'Reilly, Alex Jones clone, and then he exposes Spider-Man to be Peter Parker. And it's like, we won't be able to have the whole thing where he becomes a reporter and stuff, you know, like. And I think that's kind of, I was excited to see J. Jonah Jameson's, even though now he's bald, you know, to make him, I guess, look different. That wasn't my biggest issue. That was okay, because I get it. They want to make him look a bit different, because, but, you know, that actor, I forgot his name, but interestingly, he also played in the new, in the Justice League movie. He played, what is it? Commissioner Gordon. And that was, he did a good job. I mean, he was just very short in there, but just look wise, he just was really good. Yeah, he was pretty cool. I liked him. I mean, again, he was just there for a short time, but now we have the Snyder cut out, and don't you worry, guys, I'll talk about it in more detail. I have a lot to catch up on too. You did mention that I haven't made a Beastcast in a long time, and there was a lot of movies, but there was a lot of shit superhero movies too, where I'm like, yeah, it's another shitty superhero movie. I mean, there's not too much to say about it, but I will maybe do a rant video on those. And I mean, I don't know when the Justice League Snyder cut will come out, because they still need to, apparently they will have to do reshoots, and it will cost them apparently 30 million, so to do all the extra footage, and I'm guessing extra CGI. But I'm curious, because what I'm curious about, if the even though they're not going to release it theatrically, probably, you know, who knows, they might, but they're releasing it on this HBO Max thing to promote it, and I think that's kind of lame, because again, you're like forcing people to get another streaming service, you know. I mean, if people have already Netflix, Hulu, Amazon Prime, Disney, I mean, you cannot have all of those, you know. So you got to decide on like one or two, depending on your budget. Because then it gets together, you know, like one streaming service is fine, two is like okay, but then you're getting into like 30 to, like, you know, if you have them all, you have the 30 to 50 to $60 a month, you know, that's fucking ridiculous. But anyway, of course they're gonna use it to get people to watch stuff on there. And that thing has been like, people wanted the Snyder cut so bad. Now, I did like that they were trying to brighten it up in a way, but I will admit that when Snyder left because unfortunately his daughter died, which is really sad, you know, and makes sense. To bring in Joss Whedon and try to make it like more lighthearted, more like Avengers, and then you have these clashes of styles. I agree with that. I almost felt like that it would have been better if Snyder just has his vision, even if it's not the Justice League movie that I wanted. At least it would have been a clear and focused vision, you know. And going ahead with the Dark Side storyline as he planned with the trilogy of movies, you know. Now, yeah, it wasn't as well received, but I don't think it was as bad because honestly, there's plenty of Marvel movies that are much worse. And I think the problem was at this point, it was, but it had to be better, you know, and people were expecting much more because this is the Justice League, okay? Like, the Avengers are the Avengers, but the Justice League is the Justice League, you know. But anyway, I don't want to get too into that because then I'll never stop. But of course, it's the Beast Guest, so I'll talk about this a little bit. But I'll talk about it more later. But I want to get through all the things that I want to respond to your episode, which I enjoyed, by the way. It was really good. Good music choices too. Some nice Metallica and shit. Good stuff. Anyway, you mentioned Kevin Smith and his movies. I like the Kevin Smith the View Askew universe movies. I haven't seen his movies that are outside of that. But I didn't like Clerks 2. I think that's where he's kind of losing his style. It's not the worst movie I've seen. There's some good jokes in there. I liked when they were arguing about Lord of the Rings and Star Wars. And I think at this point, what is it? Jay. You know, not Silent Jay. What is it? Yeah. Oh yeah. Jay would have a harder time defending Star Wars. Or was it? No, it wasn't Jay. I know who it was. It was the other two guys. Man, I watched Clerks. Clerks is like one of my favorite movies too. Dante. Was it Dante? No, it was the other guy, right? I can't think of it. It's been a while, but I used to watch this movie all the time. Clerks is my favorite. The other ones are good, you know, but I don't know. There's some issues that I have with them. Clerks just I find is like, in many ways, his most perfect movie, and it's kind of sad because it was his first movie. But the other ones are good. But I think he's been losing his way. Like, I'm happy that he lost his weight because he was quite obese and it was, you know. Quite a health risk, I'm sure. Now he's like, it's better, but it feels like where he lost the weight, he's now, and also he's becoming more of an SJW guy, and I'm kind of worried because now he's in charge of doing the new He-Man cartoon. Although, as soon, you know, as that was announced, there was another He-Man cartoon announced, and it's going to be a CGI one, which I'm not looking forward to. But the new one apparently is going to be like, you know, he says that it's not going to be that way, but I hear the thing where it's going to literally continue the original continuity. It's going to ignore the new adventures where he goes into space, but it's going to be where he fights Skeletor, defeats it, but gets killed, and then Teela takes over with her lesbian girlfriend or something. This is what I heard, the rumors, from a source where they have predicted that before. It was on a website. Now, it could be all just rumors, but I feel like this whole wokeness, this is what really bothers me. These Hollywood execs, they bring back old franchises that were popular in the 80s. So for people that are in our age and that are now in their 30s and in their 40s, this was the all the cartoons and movies and books and things that were video games that were popular. They're now bringing back in a way. And I think also that's why the Sonic movie was popular because they actually also because I mean, with Sonic, he has his cult like weirdo fans and nothing, you know, it's just, you know who I mean, you know, the original creation do not steal, you know, what is it? Shade Cold Steel the Hedgehog or some bullshit, you know, like those guys. Yeah, Sonichu and those guys. But it's like for me, I feel they're bringing back like the Ghostbusters, but then as I think CF said, a friend of his said, it's like where, you know, you have a clown dancing on on the corpse of your favorite thing, you know. And that's what it felt to me with Star Wars, where they tried to make it more like Twilight, and of course they had to have SJW shit in there, and it just ruined the movie, and so many other things ruined it too, because they're not very good story-wise, and pacing and dialogue, and the characters are just very bland and one-dimensional, you know. Like I cannot tell you one character really that stuck out for me for the new. I mean, I could make a whole podcast, and I probably will talk about the new Star Wars, especially the last one, because again, I have a lot to catch up on if I'm going to do this again with Beastcast, and I do want to. But it's just kind of depressing because yeah, they bring back favorite franchises and then make sequels to like big things like Star Wars, but it's becoming just shittier and shittier instead of better or at least the same level of quality, you know? And I feel like I'd rather have something new that is good, you know, a new franchise, because I mean now they also kind of ruined they have ruined Star Trek for me, especially, you know, the movies they were still decent, but the last one was pretty bad. And then the new series, like I hear with the Picard one, I haven't even watched it because I almost don't want to, honestly, because I hear how bad it is, you know, how they're try to make it more, I guess, hip and more woke and whatever, and where they're like cussing in it, and it's like, dude, I don't know, man. It's like, where, fuck this shit. I'm like, that's why I've been watching older shit, you know. I've been just watching either stuff that I have, if it's a TV show, it's either like things that I watched one or two episodes and I kind of liked, and I'm like Space Above and Beyond. As a kid, when it came out, I watched a couple of episodes, and I liked it back then. It was okay. It was my favorite, but I liked it. I think now I can appreciate it more. I think you have to be a little bit older to appreciate it. But you know, there's sometimes I feel what I'm trying to be too serious, you know. But overall, it's a good show. Like, if you want to have a military sci-fi show, this is like I don't know, like the military story. It's like military in space, especially the U.S. military. But anyway, so yeah, that's that. I mean, it wouldn't be the Beastcast if I would ramble off a thing, even if it's a thing response. Oh yeah, you mentioned something about R2-D2. Now, this is from the previous episode that I haven't listened to yet, but I will. And I will probably do a text response, but who knows? But yeah, R2-D2 is fucking great. I mean, the reason why I wrote down R2-D2 is because he like saves the Star Wars universe plenty of times. Even the old movies, even the prequel movies, it's like him who saves everybody, you know. Now, of course, we got the little rolling ball sack, the BB 28, which is okay, but I don't know, man. Fucking R2-D2 still rocks. So, you mentioned you've been watching like Norm. Was it something with Saturday Night Live or something? Where, yeah, Norm Macdonald, he's fucking funny. Yeah, I agree. He's still funny because he's also willing to do more edgier humor, you know, and he doesn't give a shit for the most part. Oh yeah, you also watched old Tom Green stuff. Yeah, Tom Green was pretty funny at times. I mean, sometimes he's like whatever, but he's pretty funny at times. I liked his shtick back in the day. I don't know, like he like when they put him into movies, I was like, he's better if he does his like, you know, where he does his pranks on people, you know, where he's like dresses up as an idiot and then talks to them. But he doesn't like, you know, like he just does something. The joke is always on him, you know. He doesn't like do the whole "it's a prank, bro," you know. It's pretty mild and pretty funny in today's standard, but back then it was pretty hilarious. Yeah, what else was here? Oh yeah, you talked about the N64 and like that, you know, like with collecting and collecting video games in general, older ones. Yeah, I have not really been a collector either. At times I had this thought because I right now I'm like, I don't have as much money, so I cannot like just buy shit willy-nilly. But at times I've bought some older games, you know, like I've bought some when I was in the US in America, and then when I was here, I did buy myself a NES, a European a PAL NES. Now for that one, I want to at least buy a couple of games, but with especially the NES and the Super NES, all the games are still expensive. But I think with retro collecting, the prices are going down again slowly. I hope so. At least for certain games. I know there's going to be certain games that, yeah, but the super rare ones, they're usually shit games anyway. And those I'm like, yeah, I'll just play it on an emulator and don't give a fuck. Most of them are just going to be on an emulator, but yeah. Either way, that's and by the way, I gotta say something that with the Japanese imports, you know, playing like Super Famicom games or Famicom games, like Super Famicom games are way cheaper, you know, because apparently, you know, and you can get them in really good condition because Swingle, he was a really good bro, and he sent me fucking the Japanese version of Secret of Mana or Seiken Densetsu 2. And The Dark Half, which is what was a game that I really enjoyed. I played the fan translated ROM. It's an RPG and it's really cool. And he sent them to me both in box, especially the Dark Half one was in like pristine condition. And I mean fucking pristine, like it would be new, with manual on everything. And it was freaking sweet, man. And again, thank you, Swingle. And they're much cheaper. You can get these games. Now, of course, if it's a text heavy game, like an RPG or an adventure game or something of that sort of like a strategy game, then you want to have, you know, you want to play a fan translated ROM if it exists. And I know Swingle might be what might be laughing at that, but the Retro Freak emulator, it's an emulation machine. It's like a multi console, so you can put in multiple cartridges. And what it does instead of just playing the game, it's like downloads, you know, you put it in and it downloads the ROM and then you could play it. But it works pretty well and you can attach it to a TV and there's some cool settings. But what also why this is cool because you can upload the ROM translation file and then you can put in the original cartridge and it will automatically apply that patch to the ROM. So you could play, if for example the Dark Half, there's a really good fan translated ROM. And I can put in just the patch, so I could play. This is the closest thing where I can play the game and actually understand what I'm doing. Same with Secret of Mana, which I have now in Japanese, you know. But I mean, I play that game multiple times through, so I'm mostly I could play it without knowing the language, you know. So yeah. But yeah, that's Oh yeah. Here we go. There's also something where you mentioned, but either way, just to finish this off, this whole collecting and shit, I would say too, with PC emulators, you don't need a really super strong computer, depending on what you want to play. You know, up to PlayStation 1, you can get a normal basic computer and you can probably run it. After that, you might need a bit tougher thing if you want to emulate PlayStation 2 and beyond, you know. But they're already working on PlayStation 3 emulation. So, and the thing is about, you know, they say, oh, play, you know, emulating is piracy. But that's the other thing is these machines are going to break down, especially the more modern ones. They're not made to last, you know, like the fucking, how many Xbox 360s have red ringed, you know, how many PlayStation 3s has broken down, you know. The first thing that goes with the CD based ones, consoles, the newer ones, is the laser, you know, especially also for PlayStation 1 and everything, because so there's gonna be a point where there's not gonna be a working. I mean, what will happen in the next 30 years, you know? Like, how many fucking consoles will still work? Old consoles, you know? There's already now consoles that you cannot really like play anymore, you know? Like, or it is really tough finding a working one, you know? Like, and it's just gonna be, there's gonna be a point where there's either gonna be none or very few consoles where you can play the original, you know, or you have to do a lot of part replacement and maintenance, you know. So in order to preserve these games that you can still have a chance of playing them, emulation has got to be necessary. Believe me, you know, if it's not gonna be in fucking 30 years, which PlayStation 3 is still gonna work, you know? But that's neither here nor there. I say go ahead, emulate to your heart's content because honestly, like if it's the newest game, it's fine. Get the game, you know, support the company, you know. But especially if it's a rare game, you know, or something like that, I think go ahead, you know. Like like a game that is hard to get, or if it's like, especially arcade games, okay, MAME emulation. That's why most people, if it's a MAME emulator and it's a game that you cannot get on your Steam or on your console, because there is a lot of good arcade collections for like companies that care, like Capcom and Konami and whatever. Yeah, you can get a lot of those games. Most of those games you can get legally, so it's the legal ROM file. And then you can also, you can just use the ROM file it through the game, the setup that they have, or you could just use the ROM file in your MAME thing, because then you own the game legally. But there's plenty of arcade games that are more obscure, or they just simply, where the rights are just more of a mess, where the only way you're going to play them is through, if you get them on MAME. And we have already arcade games where the machines have been breaking down, and there is already, I'm pretty sure there's arcade games where there's not one working board anymore, you know? I'm talking, and it's just going to be more and more, because they're not, you know, the arcade thing, there's still arcades being made, but they're more very rare, you know? And the arcade age, for the most part, is gone when it comes to new arcades. So they're, the only people who are going to keep the arcades going are, you know, people who are collectors and people who are like running still arcades, and in Japan. Well, in Japan, they still have new arcade games being made. Now, Japan is a big exception. But it's neither here nor there. I can go to, again, make a whole episode out of that. But again, this is a response video, a podcast. So, yeah. Oh, yeah. So I'm at the second page of my notes. Well, posted, I mean. Yeah, there was something about NES nostalgia. I mean, of course, not just NES, but I, of course, have also nostalgia for things like the C64 and Amiga. And of course, you can discuss these things that. That is a game really good, because here's a good example, a recent one that is fresh in my mind is Arx Fatalis, because that's a game I played when it pretty much when it came out, and I really enjoyed it as a kid, you know, as a teenager basically. And that game is now 19 years old. It came out in 2001, I believe. So when I think about that, that's fucking crazy. You know, to me, it's not an that old of a game, but it is 19 years old. That's the fact, you know. And it came out about the same time as Morrowind did, you know, and it's kind of the same gameplay, but I think it goes more, it tries to follow more in the footsteps of Ultima Underworld. And I like the game a lot. It's really cool. It's like where the entire world, it's like a first person action RPG game. Again, like the Elder Scrolls games, because they're all inspired by Ultima Underworld. But the thing about this one is that because this, the difference is the entire fantasy world is underground, so it's in a cave world because the sun has disappeared in that world, and the older races of the world, you know, the humans, the dwarves, the trolls, all the older races have fled into the dwarven mine system, you know, and they rebuilt their city and their civilizations there. So, and it's really cool, man. It's a cool game, but I had to take the nostalgia goggles off, because I did notice there was some things that were clunkier than I remembered, you know, like the spell system and some of the controls. And there was other issues with bugs, but I think those bugs were specifically more prevalent because they were trying to run a older game that had a much older game that was made for a different system and a different DirectX and a different OS, a different version of Windows with a modern system. The cool thing is, though, since the source port, what is it? The game's code, source code, has been released freely, but the assets, like the art assets and everything, they're still copyrighted. So, but either way, because the source code was released, people have made a new port of the game where it's 1-to-1. It's called Arx Libertatis, and they fixed a lot of the issues. You know, they fixed a lot of the bugs, because I couldn't finish the game with the normal version on GOG, because It just there was a part where you need to, at the end of the game, in order to finish the game, you need to enchant a weapon. And the thing is that where you don't have to enchant items to finish the game, but you need it for the final game. You do need to enchant one thing at least. So because every time I tried enchanting, the game crashed. And it was every time. So it wasn't a one-time thing or something that happened sometimes. And it crashed in other times too. But with this new version, you had to have the original version installed, because they cannot upload the assets, so they need the game to have the assets from the game. But otherwise, it's a perfect port, really, and it has all the issues fixed. So all that I wanted to say is that it's good to take off the nostalgia glasses and sometimes also to go back and play those games that you really liked and whatever, and then see, because your opinion might change, and that's cool to know. But of course, there's going to be games that are just always good, especially either just for you or for other people, but there's plenty of things, quality of life features that have made modern gaming better, in some ways. But modern gaming is also worse because now it's all about, back in the day, they would sell you a full game, a full game that you could play from beginning to end, and it often had multiplayer, depending on the era it came out, and obviously. But even like NES games had, they had just had couch multiplayer often, so you had a full game to play. And when it was a PC game, there wasn't DLC, but they had expansion packs, and they had allowed you also to mod the game to your heart's content. People would make their own ver like their own mods and everything for like Half-Life or Jedi Academy. I mean, it was crazy. It was cool, and there was no little. There wasn't like this nickel and diming shit. I mean, this is something a lot of people have talked about, so I don't want to go too much into it. But this is what kind of pisses me off with modern gaming, is that they're not satisfied with you paying, like, let's say the premium price for a new game, like $60. Okay. They want you to pay, oh, yeah, you paid $60, but it doesn't have all the characters, or it doesn't have all the levels, or it doesn't have all the shit, Or, oh, do you want to have extra costumes? Now, there's something that you not necessarily need, but I just feel like where you pay all this shit, and then or for some games they want, because this happened for me to start it as soon as MMOs started and got popular, because with MMOs they had to do a in order to keep the servers going and to keep the game updated, they had to do a whole where you pay a monthly subscription fee, and then most MMOs have moved away from this. There's a couple that still do it, but they moved away from it, where they went with the freemium, where they have the microtransaction. You can play the game for free, but it's a very truncated game. It's like crippleware, basically what they call it. Where you can play the game, but oh, you want to go to this new area? You cannot go there, because it's a paywall. You cannot go there, it's a paywall. You cannot use this class, it's a paywall. Paywall, 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 And then of course eventually you'll want to pay for it if you want to go further or just stop playing the game. And the problem is it's been sneaking into more and more into games. And then you have the other thing that is even worse is the whole gambling thing, where you're gambling for items. Like they started with like CS:GO and like I think also Team Fortress 2, and then the new Star Wars game, which was multiplayer and it had a little bit of single player, but it was mostly multiplayer. But now if you wanted to play Darth Vader or something, you have to unlock it, where you paid for a key and then you got like a chance to win it. You got like you could technically get them through play, because that's how they have to do it, but you have to grind and play so much, like I would get bored way before that. Where with Jedi Academy, because they allowed players to make their own mods and everything, people just made their own mods, and they made, if it didn't have Darth Vader, they made Darth Vader. They made Yoda, they made fucking Spider-Man, they made fucking everything, okay? And then you can just download it and make it work. And now it's also with Fallout, because they saw that with the Skyrim and Fallout games, modding was very popular, and then they wanted to control that with their whole creator shit and everything, that you have to also pay for that. And it's like where it's this nickel and diming, because they have to make money, because it's like the biggest companies. It's mostly with AAA gaming, With the indie game scene, I know it's kind of cringy to say, but the lower budget games where it's just a couple of people or one guy, it's like where, they still are going, they are more willing to experiment and everything. They're not, usually they're not going to do the nickel and diming. Big exception, Talisman, Talisman is probably the biggest exception because they are fucking like, now they're, even if you are, you have the subscription, which I have, where I'm supposed to get all the expansions, but now they made new expansions, but you have to buy separately, which is fucking bullshit. But still, whatever. There is a, mostly when it comes to AAA games, they need to like make a certain budget, and they have to make their fucking it becomes more of a company thing. It they have to make their shareholders happy and everything, and they have to show, oh, this game made this and this much money, and it's still to, and then now it has to continue making revenue, and it's this whole what they call gamification, all this bullshit, and where you're like supposed to, like, oh, you log in and you do a little thing. It's like shitty mobile games. They want to go towards mobile games because it's like all these business sharks, all these what I call OCP types. Remember OCP from RoboCop? It's those guys. They want to just fucking try to milk you out of most money with the least amount of effort put in. And I'm like, I'm kind of done with that for the most part. Even though, yes, I don't play a lot of the mo most modern games, the big AAA ones, because I simply can't, because my computer is old at this point. But even if I get a new computer, yeah, there's going to be one or two modern games I do want to try out at least and play and get and play. Like the new Doom game, the Doom Eternal one, because I recently played Doom, the 2016 one, and I did like it. And there's a couple, one or two, but not too many, because for me, most of the time, it's like, it is going to be a shitty Ubisoft style game where it's like collect the dicks, the game, like Far Cry 3. Or it's going to be like, yeah, this game could be cool, but you have to pay like so much extra shit, and it's like where I just want to buy a game, sit down and play it. Back in the day with Morrowind, when they had expansions, those were full expansions where they gave you at least as much playtime, pretty much, where you had Tribunal for Morrowind, which was the capital of Morrowind. There was new quests, new monsters, new weapons, and now you could also like new features where you could now hire a guy, you could hire mercenaries with you, and there was just a ton of shit, or fucking Solstheim, like Blood Moon, where it unlocks a whole new island that you can explore, and now you can become a werewolf. That's an expansion, which just means that they just make new content, which is fine, but before they nickel and dime you for a little bit of content, they wait and make a huge expansion, as it should be. And then I'm willing to pay for it, because I can play the main game just fine, but when they're saying, oh, here's a fucking new armor for your horse, like, fuck you, man, come on. Come on, you can make more. You can make more, but you don't want to. You want to like do the nickel and diming shit. We get it. We get it. So that's what kind of pisses me off. That's why I've been playing mostly older games. Like I've been playing Dungeon Keeper, which I've been enjoying. That's a great game, man. And what I've seen, what they did with when EA got the rights and they finally made a third one, but it's a shitty remake where it's like now a shitty mobile game or tablet game. I'm like, eh, fuck you, man. It's like, and it had so much microtransaction shit in it. I'm like, no, fuck you. There is guys that made Dungeon Keeper style games in that spirit, like Dungeon and other ones that I'm more interested in playing, because those are like, if they would get the rights for the game, they could make a true sequel. But in a way, they did. That's why I find spiritual sequels more interesting, because you got the right squad and companies. They will shit out something if they will shit out something, and it will be shit. So, yeah, anyway, the hate is strong today. Yeah, you said something about in the Mondo Roundverse, like, what is it? I said here, closing. But you know what? I say, fuck it. Yeah, Jerry, he hasn't been really posting. He's been busy with his family, but I saw he posted something maybe once a year. I know it sucks, but that's what happens once you get a family and once you're more busy. I want to come back. I've been gone for quite some time, but I'm gonna try to do more podcasts and shit. So yeah, and again, Well, this is basically all the notes that I have, but yeah, Death Adder, thank you for like you CF and Tomcat X have been holding up the fort for the next round for quite some time, and I'm thankful for that. And while I am saddened that you removed your stuff, it's all up to you, man. You know, you do what you want to do, but it won't feel the same. You know, the next round. The next round won't feel the same. The Mondo Roundverse won't feel the same without Death Adder, you know? And so, yeah. Either way, and I'd like to just hang out with you, man. You know, this is just us, as CF says. This is just a small group of friends having fun. You know, we don't have like millions of listeners or viewers, but sometimes if I also feel what you said, it's better to have a smaller group of where it's just mostly just our friends, you know, because then you can be free, whatever you want to say and so such. So, but anyway, all I want to say is Death Adder, you the man, and I'm gonna stop it here now. Okay, fellow Beastians, for Death Mug of Doom, and hopefully you won't have to wait too long for the next Beastcast. We'll see. Anyway, thank you guys, and for the Death Mug of Doom!